Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Currently, in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, one is a renowned forensic blood splatter expert. The other, an appointed master of haberdashery. It's John and Lance.
I'm the blood.
Right, welcome back here on ESPN.
I'm the blood splatter expert.
It's just,
you're the haberdashery guy because you wear Louis Vuitton.
It's just stupid. Which MVP in the NFL this year would hurt the sports books the most?
Mahomes.
Actually, he's right there with
Burrow.
Jalen.
Oh, huh. Okay.
Mahomes has more money bet on him.
Oh, yeah, but it's got to go by the odds.
Hurts has the longer odds.
Yeah, so Hurts is probably, what, fourth best odds?
He's 11 plus 1,100.
So I'm going to guess it's Mahomes, Allen, and Burrow would be the first three.
I
can't imagine it would be anybody else. And then
offensive player of the year?
That would hurt
the books?
Which one
would hurt the most?
That's the most realistic. Not Derrick Henry.
No. This is a little surprising.
Not Stephon Diggs. I don't know. I don't need Jamar Chase.
Jamar's right there. So is Justin Jefferson. But it's CeeDee Lamb.
Okay.
Yeah.
So somebody's put a chunk on CeeDee Lamb.
Because of Cowboys.
Yeah, somebody's put a chunk on him.
Yeah. Defensive player of the year?
Oh.
This one's interesting.
I would say, these are hard. Pat Surtain?
This one. Aiden Hutchinson.
Huh.
Yeah.
I think Aiden is proving.
He was great last year.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Like the Trayvon Walker versus, I had a much higher grade on Aiden Hutchinson. Like Aiden was almost can't miss. The question was always people act so weird on Twitter. They showed one play where Aiden Hutchinson got blocked really badly against Georgia. And it went viral, and people were like, this is the number one. And like Aiden Hutchinson has a motor like I've never seen before. He works like a monster in the offseason. Yeah, I think that, you know, his highest ceiling is great, not elite, to me, I think. I'll take great. Great can win NFL Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Great can win. I don't think he'll ever be J.J. Watt, but I think he's going to be a really – really fail-safe player. And Trayvon Walker,
yes.
It was just a bunch of, like, you had to project Trayvon Walker. It wasn't really on tape.
No, Aiden Hutchinson was the pick. But it's perfect for him going right there to Detroit. It was a perfect marriage. 18.7% of the money at 20-1 for BetMGM. They're in some trouble if Aiden Hutchinson wins. Comeback player of the year, this one should be pretty obvious.
Comeback player of the year won't be Matt Stafford, I wouldn't think. If it's obvious who was hurt, who didn't play.
Not who's the favorite.
Deshaun?
Who would hurt the books?
Deshaun Watson?
Nope.
Who?
Russell Wilson.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. 33% of the money, a third of the money is bet on Wilson, but the favorite is DeMar Hamlin. But I don't know.
DeMar probably can announce he won.
Is he going to make enough?
All he's got to do is play, and he wins.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, you could give
him if Russell Wilson plays really well,
can't Deshaun Watson win that award? Deshaun Watson's had. Deshaun Watson really hasn't played football for what, 3 straight years?
Yeah, Deshaun could be. But that's because, listen, the media won't vote for him. You know how they're
Are you kidding me?
DeMar Hamlin was out there, and you're going to vote for
No. This guy came back from dying on the field.
Yeah.
This guy came back from a small towel.
from thrusting himself on women.
That he would buck off the table.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's this guy came back pelvic, from a settlement.
He came
with,
back from pelvic thrust.
This guy came back from a settlement with 24 women. This guy came back from dying on the field. Who are you voting for? Yeah. I better check it.
Well, DeSean was able to overcome 26 different women.
Yeah. DeMar didn't even start this year. I don't care. I'm voting DeMar.
Coach of the year.
Coach of the year. The one that would hurt the most might be Sean Payton.
No. Who's going to hurt the most is Dan Campbell. Campbell,
man, I would think he'd be one of the favorites.
He's the favorite at plus 900, but he's still 35% of the money.
Oh, plus 900. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Where's D'Amico? See, your bias is showing. Your West Coast and East Coast bias is showing right now.
Yeah.
John,
I'm going to put
D'Amico?
Some on D'Amico. If D'Amico wins six games, he did the greatest job in NFL history. Who's offensive rookie of the year?
The favorite for
not the favorite. Who would hurt the book the most?
Oh, who would hurt the book the most would be Anthony Richardson.
Bijan.
Well, see, he's a favorite too.
The Atlanta Falcons, eighth overall. He's going to.
You know, Bijan is a huge favorite, by the way.
Yeah, even as a short favorite, he's got 36.2% of the money on him.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though: if a quarterback plays better than expected, see, Richardson to me is going to be a sneaky. You'll read my article here in about a week and a half to 2 weeks. If you're smart, if you don't go to NFL.com, you're a fool. But I've got to rank them. And, you know, a lot of people will make wagers based on this because I'm thinking from actually winning. I look at history of this. And Anthony Richardson with a chance to run for touchdowns and throw for touchdowns is something to keep an eye on. C.J. Stroud, yes. Bryce Young, yes, but I don't know that they're going to have the running numbers that really start to pile on the stats. But you have to have – well, you don't have to have wins. You actually don't have to have wins at all to win Offensive Rookie of the Year.
No.
You know who never wins it? Offensive line and tight end have never, ever won Rookie of the Year, so you can basically scratch them off, not like you were going to have it. But for 2 years in a row, it's been wide receiver, and it's the first time – this will surprise you – for 2 years in a row, it's been wide receiver winning an award, Ja'Marr Chase, and who won last year? Oh, Garrett Wilson. Do you know that hadn't happened since 84, 85 when it was like Eddie somebody from either the Lions or the Browns? Eddie Brown and Louis Lips.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it hadn't happened where wide receivers went back-to-back with winning Rookie of the Year since 84. 384. And how about this? It's the first time in the history of the award that the guy who got the most first place votes didn't win the award. Kenneth Walker actually had more first place votes. He had 19 to Garrett Wilson's 18, but they changed the voting to where it's not the most first place votes. It went first, second, and third. And they tallied up the votes like that. And so I didn't even realize that until doing my research that Kenneth Walker actually had more first place votes and didn't win.
Wow. Wow. That's got to be. Oh, you changed it now? Thanks, NFL.
Yeah, like, oh, great, cool.
Yeah. Defensive rookie of the year. I don't think you'll ever get this one.
Defensive that will hurt the most. Defensive rookie.
Will hurt the books the most.
Hurt the books the most. I'm going to actually get this. Watch this. I am going to get this. I'm going to look at drafthistory.com. I'm going to look at my, it must be down for work, so it's not working. Let's say I'm trying to remember all the different players who got drafted last year. I have no idea.
Jack Campbell.
Linebacker. Where did he get drafted?
The Lions.
Man,
he's
people are
plus 2,000.
So three of them
Lions
are Lions.
Fans
so
are
people are firing
up
on the Lions.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I think the Lions are an exciting team this
they
year.
They are, but there's so much expected of them now.
Right. That's why Dan Campbell, you know what? Dan Campbell better make the playoffs. If they fell just short, and he's got to make the playoffs this year. If he doesn't, he's gonna be not coach of the year. He's going to be on the hot seat because there are so many expectations for this Lions team right now. They were good, though. They were fun to watch.
No, they are. They're they're a lot of fun to watch, and it's they've been scrappy for two straight years, and everyone's expecting this to be the year they win it.
Losing Williams, though, I know they got Gibbs, but losing Williams, that dude was money in the
red zone. So I want to tell you to read. There's an article, and it's hard to get through long-form articles anymore because we're all so short attention span. I implore you, if you are a fantasy football fan, if you are a draft person, or if you're just a football fan who has been watching a sport for a while, you know, the decline in the running back, what's happened to the running back? Why is there Dalvin Cook and Ezekiel Elliott and Kareem Hunt and Leonard Fournette are all on the market? What's going on with the running back position? They're not getting paid.
By the way, Saquon is going to sit out the first game.
Yeah, so Bill Barnwell wrote a phenomenal article. I mean, phenomenal. He did research on it. He's got information like I've never seen. It's one of the best written articles that I've ever seen in regards to an individual topic on the running back position and where the decline started and do they deserve more money. And he breaks down this, that, and the other. And I think he did an incredible job. It's Bill Barnwell, quote unquote, and staff. But if you go to ESPN on the front page, I definitely suggest reading that article because it is incredibly insightful with a lot of facts that he went and discovered himself and dug up himself. And it's really eye opening. Like, I just think there's going to be a lot of dads who push their sons to be different positions, or there's going to be a lot of kids who say, I don't want to be running back. I want to be a wide receiver. Like, there's going to be a mass rush to be different positions because running back, for people who are just looking at football as a way to get paid and make money and have a career, I think they're going to start at a young age. They're going to want out of the running back position because I don't see it changing. Bill Barnwell makes an excellent case for the fact that this now is there's enough data where people realize, look, running back is just – it's not going to get better for running backs. It's the money thing, and if you want running backs to get paid more, who are you taking money away from? Guards,
yeah, I know.
Centers,
those kids that
are, linebackers, those, wide receivers.
Those kids that are playing on rocks in the park, you know, how are they going to live on that $10.1 million that Saquon's got offered?
I know, but it doesn't last long. Like, you don't get $10.1 if you're a running back who doesn't get a second contract. You didn't get, like, Damian Pierce, he better get to a second contract. Now, what does that second contract look like? Because for a fourth rounder, John, he's going to play 4 years on a contract that he will outplay. And then are the Texans going to want to give him a second year contract for a guy who runs like a wrecking ball? I mean, it's probably not the smartest thing to do in the world. And he's not eligible for at most you give him, like, the smart thing to do would be give him a 3 year deal where you can get out from under it and after the second year. That's 6 years. You look at Earl Campbell. Earl Campbell didn't last long in the league, and he ran like Damian Pierce runs. You know,
yeah,
it's just not – if you run, talented and physical, you just don't last except for Derrick Henry, and he's a freaky outlier. He made the point, John. He went back and looked at who's the biggest hammerhead that you've seen outside of Derrick Henry. Name another hammerhead running back that was a grinder. You'll come up with the name in a second, I think.
Adrian Peterson?
No, because Adrian was also a speed guy. Like, he was explosive. I'm talking about 3 yards in a cloud of dust type back.
James Conner?
Nope. Go to the early 2000s. Drafted in the 90s, played into the early 2000s, was on a good team, but a...
The bus?
No, that's a good guess, too. Eddie George.
Okay.
Eddie George... He went and did a study, an analytics study of Eddie George, and like Eddie George was basically a net negative for 7 of the years that he played in the NFL, that he was like a negative value player because he had highly inefficient carries. He fumbled a lot. He got the ball a ton but didn't even average 4 yards a carry. Like, that brand of football is never coming back, ever.
No.
It's never, ever coming back. And so Eddie George wouldn't have the same value anymore. Like, he'd be just another guy in the league this year. He'd probably make it 5 years and be done.
You know, you're another guy, just a guy, if you chew tobacco. You got to stop. You got to stop doing it. And how about how much easier it is to get Canstead and Dublend right now? At American Shaman, CBD, they're in select locations, they've got it. The Artisan Grange, Canstead, and Dublend, because it has CBD in it. It's hemp in a pouch made of hemp. And if you stop by an American Shaman, you don't have to order online, but you can. You can go to 975dip.com, and you can get your dip. You put it, it's got the taste that you want, if be it citrus, berry, be it tobacco. If you want it to taste like tobacco, it's fine. They got tobacco flavor. They got dark fire. They got a ton of different choices for you, whatever flavor that you're looking for. But it's not tobacco. It's not nicotine. It's not dangerous. As a matter of fact, American Shaman, that's CBD, and that has healing power. So if you're looking for a great way to dip but not endanger yourself, get to 975dip.com or stop by select locations at American Shaman and pick up your Artisan Grange Canstead and Dew Blend today.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Is it football season yet?
A tug of war. 22 nameless men grappling in the mud. They call it pro football.
John plus Lance equals a damn good start to your day. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So a couple of quick things, John. First of all, Luis Arraez, watching him hit in the All-Star game, how incredible. I mean, his bat quickness and efficiency in his swing is just incredible, and I am really looking forward to his chase. Hopefully he does have a legit chase at 400 because this dude is incredible. Just absolutely incredible to watch. Only I don't know how often you're actually going to watch him because he's a National League player on it. And so, I mean, we'll have to see what becomes of him this year in terms of the storylines. But, man, him chasing 400 should garner some attention this year, because I think he's got a legit chance to, you know, to stay up around the 380 mark. We'll see if he can get hot enough. 400's insane. I mean, for anyone to approach that would be incredible. The second thing is, did you know Tracy McGrady was on with the Wheelhouse yesterday?
Sorry, her?
I don't know how they got him on, but he had some good stuff. He talked about yesterday, they asked him about the hiring of Ime Udoka, and here's what Tracy thought about that.
I love Ime. Ime is very smart, talented, you know, players coach that I think those young guys will really rally around and go out and compete for every night. I think he'll put them in great position to be successful. So that was a great hire on the Rockets' part.
And then from a veteran standpoint, Rockets bring in veterans, we know, with Dylan Brooks and, well, most notably Dylan Brooks and obviously Fred VanVleet. And Tracy thinks, as the rest of us, that that's something that was really needed.
Yeah, not only Fred, but Jeff Green as well. You need that veteran leadership. The league is extremely young, and you need guys that can really show these young guys the right way. Fred has won a championship. Jeff Green is coming off winning a championship with Denver this year. So having that veteran experience and really showing the young guys the right way, because I'm sure last year was just a dismal season for them and pretty frustrating for them. So now you got some guys that can really – you know, show them how to be true professionals and how to approach the game night in and night out. So that was a great signing for the Rockets on that part.
And finally, T-Mac, what about the rumor about James Harden wanting to come back to Houston? What were your thoughts on that?
Listen, I for the life of me, James is in a great position. I mean, I just don't know how you would want to leave a guy that won MVP last season. You're in a great position and, you know, your coach is going to allow you to play your style of basketball. Yeah, it really just didn't make sense to go and join a young team that is many years from really winning a championship or even competing for one. You're right there in the situation that you want to be in, and it seems like you're running from that. Now, we don't know why James wants to get out. It could be some internal stuff that is just not being said or being put out, but know, from a basketball standpoint, I don't even know how you even leave there and go find a place that's even remotely close to the situation that you're in terms of, you know, winning the championship. You're in a great spot.
Isn't that, don't you think, John, that plays into some, like, if you're a team and you want to compete for a championship and you're thinking about bringing in James Harden, isn't the fact that he's leaving a championship contender a little bit of an issue? Like, you have it. Tracy makes a pretty good point. You're leaving an opportunity for what? Like, what makes me think he left an opportunity in New Jersey? He's leaving an opportunity in Philadelphia. Who wants to give him money? Like, who thinks he's seriously about winning at this point?
Yeah, it's all about James. And they got rid of Doc for him. They got rid of Doc, and did what? And here he is. I gotta go. I want out. What? I think he's staying. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think Darryl's just gonna go
there for him.
Yeah, I don't think it's there for him either. I ain't paying him $35 million. Sorry. I just ain't doing it. All right, 713-780-3776. Still ahead, a story that we just do not cover enough on the other. We do not get this. This is a major story.
John and Lance of the Texas Radio Hall of Fame?
That's not it.
Or that we should be?
You just gave that too much.
Years ago?
You just gave that too much. Okay?
My bad.
So we need to stop that, because that's not something we're interested in. You know what we are interested in Pro Dunk Hoop? That's what we're interested in. The best basket in the history of baskets. It's not even arguable. The curb appeal, the backboard, tempered glass backboard, the unbreakable rim, the raising and lowering of the goal. Now with a drill, you don't have to crank it. Like in the old days when I was a kid, well, when I was an adult and my kids had the goal, we had to crank it. We ain't doing that no more. We got a drill now. That's way too much work, okay? Now we're going, and it raises and it lowers so the kids can dunk. They can have fun. Dad, your kid's not that athletic. Can't jump, all right? Can't even reach the basket, a 10-foot goal with the basketball. They want to lower it. They want to dunk. They want to hang on the rim. They can hang on it all day because it's the best rim ever made. The whole process, the installation, that they'll stencil your driveway, it's the best. It is simply the best. There is no goal that is better in the history of goals. So if you're looking for the best goal, mom will love it because of the curve appeal. You'll love it because the whole neighborhood, all the kids are going to be over at your house, which is what you want. You want to know where your kids are. You want to know that they're outside instead of playing video games. If you get them on a Pro Dunk, they're going to get outside. They're going to love it. ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude,
I'd be most worried about seeing my seminal vesicles.
Or like the Florida State seminal vesicles?
I'm going to make this fast because John has a tea time and Lance has more NFL work to do. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's The Trench.
Get in the trench.
All right. Over the years, John Granato has become – I was telling McCool this when he was in town. I was like, John watches a lot of – like, we can talk about a lot of different shows now. John watches a lot of movies, a lot of shows. He will read his movies and shows now, so nothing is off limits. I credit Wendy for that probably. But
no, that's me.
Did you see the 2023 list of Emmy nominations by any chance?
I did not.
Okay, let me throw some of these at you. See which ones that you actually. Well, I'm not gonna like the shows you watched. Did you watch White Lotus?
I did. I watched the second season.
Yeah, second season's really good. Succession, you watched. The Last of Us. I don't know if you watched that.
I didn't. I couldn't get into it.
History of the Dragon, you watched. I mean, House of the Dragon.
Yep.
And Better Call Saul.
Yep.
And then you watched The Crown?
I did.
You didn't watch Andor from Disney. There's no way.
No.
Okay. Best Actor in a Drama Series. HBO annihilated
everyone. Bob Odenkirk.
Well, so Bob Odenkirk is nominated. Kieran Culkin from Succession is nominated. Brian Cox, who is, oh, you are not serious people. From Succession, yep. Logan Roy, Jeff Bridges, from The Old Man,
yeah,
Pedro Pascal from Last of Us, and Jeremy Strong, who is who's the other screw up? What's his Kendall Roy? So that's like, those are all HBO shows, by the way, except for Better Call Saul.
Of the three in succession, who would you vote for?
Not Kieran Culkin. I'd probably vote. Well, Jeremy Strong was pretty good this year. I think Bob Odenkirk is the winner for me. I didn't watch The Old Man is the only one I didn't watch. I probably would vote Brian Cox.
I would vote Odenkirk too, but I would vote from Succession, Culkin.
You would?
He was just so funny and so good. The writing was tremendous.
The writing was really, really good.
But
this
He delivered it well. I mean, his little quips were, I thought, fantastic.
Yeah, but I thought they did a good job of having up and down, like where he was really depressed. Like, they gave his character a little more depth this year, too.
Yeah.
See, that's a good point.
See, and yeah, Cox was the same guy throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, pretty much, although he lost.
Crotchety old man.
But he did a great job of acting. The best actress in drama series, Keri Russell from The Diplomat. Did you watch that?
Done.
Yeah. Sarah Snook from Succession. Her character, Shiv Roy's character, I think, is kind of played out to me. I would give it to Keri Russell. Diplomat's a good show, by the way.
It's a really good show.
Best supporting actor. Okay, this is the one I wanted to get to. White Lotus, F. Murray Abraham, you know, the old grandpa.
Yeah.
Nicholas Braun, who's Cousin Greg. Michael Imperioli.
Winner. Cousin Greg wins.
Hold on, man. This list is awesome. Michael Imperioli from White Lotus, who is...
he's all right.
Yeah, from The Sopranos. Also, Spider, who ends up getting his foot shot in Goodfellas. Theo James from White Lotus. I think that's the guy who wasn't sure if his wife was screwing around on him. Matthew McFadden from Succession, who is Tom. Uncle Ruck, Succession, or Alan Ruck. I can't remember who that is. Alexander Skarsgård, who is the guy who wanted to buy, buy Waystar Royko. And then Will Sharp from White Lotus. Now, Will Sharp is the guy who is the husband of the girl who, Aubrey Plaza, the girl who he wasn't sure she was screwing around with the other guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's all Succession and White Lotus, basically. Actually, everything is Succession and White Lotus. 1, 2, 3, 4 Successions and 4 White Lotuses. That's the entire category.
I'm going Cousin Greg. Winner.
You're going Cousin Greg? I'm going Tom. And then, although best comedy series, I think I'm going Marvelous Miss Maisel. It was really good this year. They got the Bear under comedy series. Does that make any sense to you? I mean, there's a couple of quippy, funny lines.
No.
The Bear doesn't feel like a comedy series.
That's what they're saying it is?
Yeah.
The Bear is not.
Best actor in a comedy series, Jeremy Allen White from The Bear, the chef. I'm like, I would give it to him, but I guess if you think it's a comedy series.
There was nothing funny, especially that last episode.
Yeah.
There was nothing funny about that show. This? I mean, how neurotic Jamie Lee Curtis was, the whole cooler scene. I mean, no, it's not funny. It is not funny.
No, there's funny stuff that happens in it, but that ain't a comedy.
No. You know who is funny and who doesn't get enough attention? Britney Spears. Yeah.
But is she intentionally funny?
This is one of the biggest stories of the year, and you continue to ignore it. She is none too pleased with Victor Wembanyama's people. The San Antonio Spurs, she's not a fan anymore. She's still waiting. Here she is. She is still waiting for that apology.
Hi, so I wanted to share with you guys an incident that happened in Vegas that a lot of people are talking about. I heard on the news.
Who are these people?
This radio station talking smack and talking shit, that's why I'm addressing it, saying
was
that
it
I
us?
Deserve to be smacked. 10. Security was doing their job and protecting their client. I've been with the most famous people in the world, NSYNC at one time. Girls would like literally throw themselves at them. On my way into the place, actually, I was knocked down by like 3 12-year-olds trying to get my picture. My security not one time touched them or even came near them. Point being is, I didn't appreciate the people saying that I deserve to be hit, because no woman ever deserves to be hit.
Well, that's just Twitter.
I simply tapped him on the back, and I was backhanded, hit my face, came back on the floor. My best friend picked me up and held me. And I did get an apology at my table.
30 minutes later.
But I have yet to receive a public apology.
Now, did you see what they, you know, they're not charging, you know, they're not going to file charges, right? Did you see why?
No, right. No, it's a security guard doing his job.
Well, did you
get
see
away
what,
from us.
Well, did you see what the, did you see why they said, well, actually, it was basically a, well, actually, the security guard hit her hand and then her hand hit her own face. Let me tell you what that is. You know what that is?
That's
the
big brother move. Big brother.
That's a big brother move. You're hitting yourself with your own hand. You're hitting yourself with your own hand. Mom! You beat the piss out of your little brother with his own hand, and then you have plausible deniability. That's what that whole thing sounded like. It's the oldest big brother trick in the book. She hit herself in the face with her own hand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, technically?
Yes. Technically.
Right.
Dude, yes, I was with my cousin's grandkids. I got an older cousin. They got grandkids that are 16 and 12. We went to pick up a pizza at Palermo's. He was sitting there. You're hitting yourself. You're hitting yourself. You're hitting yourself. And she's 12, and she just sat there and took it. And I was like, that is every big brother.
Yeah.
Every big brother has forever. It's the oldest move in the book.
It's the
You're hitting yourself.
When Britney Spears, when they came out and said Britney hit herself in the face, I was like, oh my God, they're giving her the big brother treatment.
Yeah.
They just big brother Britney. Frankly, the guy I thought maybe was a little too aggressive and they probably should have apologized. Not because it's Britney Spears, but hey, didn't mean to. Like, she didn't do anything other than touch him on the shoulder, and then she got smacked. But the thing that really stood out to me was she hit herself in the face with her own hand. I'm like, oh my God, they big brothered her. And here's the other thing, John. So we learned years ago in psychology about nature, Piaget's nature versus nurture, right? And so everything has, you know, it's either nature or nurture or a combination of the two. That's how things come about. Is it inside you innately, or are you taught that? That's the basics. Well, when I look at the big brother, you hit yourself in the face. To me, that is a nature. That is something that it does not have to be taught. I think every big brother somehow just comes to that conclusion themselves that they can hit their little brother or sister, I guess, in the face with their own hand. I don't think that's a learned behavior. I think you just have it in as a big brother, and you were a little brother, but as a big brother, I just think I didn't have my dad teach me that. I didn't have friends teach me that. That's just something that you innately know to do. It's instincts.
That's just, it is. It's instinctive. There's no question. It, you know what? In the farthest reaches of Africa, older brothers are doing that.
Yes.
It's not a learned behavior. It's,
yes.
They have no TV. They have no other. They're isolated. The cavemen, big brothers.
The children of
yourself,
Al-Qaeda.
You're hitting yourself.
Children of Al-Qaeda. Somewhere there's a big brother, little brother. The little kids of a drunken father in Ireland are big brother, little brother hitting each other in the face. It doesn't matter where you're from. You're right. It doesn't. You just are born with the instincts. You don't need anyone to tell you that.
No.
Or if you do something to your little brother and he's going to tell, you're also like, here, I'll hit myself. Ugh! Where you also, as a big brother, know you preemptively
I hit myself
yourself for the little brother so that he won't tell. That's also an instinctive behavior.
That's exactly right. No, that's exactly right. All right, we're breaking. We got news of the weird, as if that wasn't enough. We've got news of the weird coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now I'm talking about Houston Powder Coaters and what Robin and the great people over there at Houston Powder Coaters are doing. They're awesome. The biggest, the best 20 years of business experience, great Google reviews, very hands-on, great communication with customers, free pickup and delivery. They'll go Galveston, Willis, Mount Bellevue, it doesn't matter. Businesses have trusted them. Businesses like the Marriott Marquis, the Downtown Aquarium, you know, the giant Ferris wheel there? Yep, Houston Powder Coaters. Westside Tennis Courts. When I was there, Westside Tennis Courts had, I must have been 300 new chairs, new new chairs that they wanted. They just bought them, and they wanted Houston powder coaters to coat them before they put them out. This is the kind of work. This is the kind of workmanship. This is the kind of excellent business that you are going to be dealing with. Free, again, free pickup and delivery. Do you have any kind of metal that needs powder coating? Do you have patio furniture, car parts? Do you have whatever it is that you, an old refrigerator, anything that is metal that you need Houston Powder Coaters for? It's simple. HoustonPowderCoaters.com, HoustonPowderCoaters.com, 281-676-3888.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sweet Sassy Molassy.
John Stockton says, "Hey, look at me. I'm a little teapot. I'll run right up your dress." But then Karl Malone says, "Sweet Sassy Molassy, you are going to pay a lot."
Time now for news of the weird with John and Lance.
Weird. John and Lance Weird.
News of the weird.
News.
All right, Lance, let me ask you a personal question. Have you ever had an eargasm?
Yes, I would say there have been songs that have given me that, yeah. I don't know, I don't know the definition, frankly, so I'm just kind of guessing.
According to a doctor, okay, it's very likely that the erectile tissues in your ear, in your ears engorge. That means that eargasms may come in response to swelling in the ear canal.
What does that mean, swelling the tissues in my ear?
What he's calling those ear boners.
Who is doing
in your
this?
Ears.
Who is doing this? A character on Saturday Night Live?
It's not. It is actually, this is a doctor. He says you can actually touch this, a happy button in there, and have what is known as an eargasm. But he doesn't want you to use Q-tips because that'll just push the earwax further into your ear. So don't use a Q-tip if you're trying to have an eargasm.
Oh, you know what? Actually, if you get in someone's ear and you kind of yell a little bit and make a noise, like a buzzing noise, there's a vibration. It kind of feels good. That might be what he's talking about. It does sound like a character played by Christopher Walken. It appears as though you're having an eargasm in your ear. The tissue is engorged. And you've got an ear boner.
It does feel a little like that.
You've got engorged tissue, and frankly, the cleanup is a mess. That's not wax.
Thailand. Apparently, Burger King has debuted a new burger. No meat, 20 slices of cheese. Do you want a 20 slice of cheese burger?
Oh, my gosh. I saw the story, and to this, I was thinking, what do you do with, okay, so it's a giant grilled cheese. No, I would never, I don't even want grilled cheese with that much cheese. No, I don't want 20 slices.
That's a
that
lot of
cheese. That sounds like
cheese.
Something that somebody's trying to win a Guinness Book of World Records.
Sounds like you're not going to poop for a long time.
Yeah.
This cheese will bind you up. Don't do it.
Don't do it,
Thailand. Don't do it. A woman says, "My husband died, so I fell for his brother. Haters call him Uncle Daddy, but we're in love. If you died, would Nicole go for Mike?"
No. And Lisa would fight Nicole, so it's not going to happen. Both are. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Nope. You don't want it with Lisa's airline either. My brother's wife is too down. You do not want to scrap with her.
No. No, so, yeah, we're not going to do that. A New Jersey couple, a new low, they stole $91,000 from a youth soccer club to pay for their Disney trip and other splurges.
It is expensive.
First of all, how in the world does a youth soccer club have $91,000 available to steal?
I don't know. And then how do you spend $91,000 on a Disney trip?
On a Disney
trip. I've never been to Disney. Now. I've heard it's really expensive, but it can't be $91,000 expensive.
$91,000
for a Disney trip. You could have just gone to the playground and the slip and slide. No, what Disney.
Why is Christopher Walken on your mind?
I don't know. Because I saw Jay Moore do an imitation of him.
Oh,
yesterday, no, and Jay's imitation is the best Christopher Walken imitation there is. Every once in a while, like Christopher Walken will, he'll trend on Twitter twice a year, sometimes three times a year, and I'm like, please don't let it be he's dead. And he's never dead. They just show him dancing. He used to be a really good dancer. Like, he was a classic, you know, 1950s style. You know, when they made the movies where everyone could dance and act and sing and do a lot of stuff.
Gene Kelly.
And now you just have to auto-tune.
Fred Astaire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Kim Kardashian is launching Kim-Aid energy drink with a collaboration with Alani Nu. Do you want to drink Kim-Aid?
No. I'm not doing anything to Kim. Kim Kardashian's not the boss of me. And I caught my daughter trying to watch the Kardashians, and I said, nope. Yeah, she had turned on. She goes, I just want to see what this show is about. I said, nope, turn it off. You are never allowed to watch the Kardashians until you're out of my house. I don't need little girls, you know, learning these kind of ho-ass moves. So, no, not in my house. We're not watching the Kardashians.
Frankie watched the Kardashians. She loved the Kardashians. It's so awful. It's so terrible. And finally tonight, Twitter has a free speech approach, and luckily, the Taliban is behind it. Do you want your free speech approach backed by the Taliban?
I mean, I don't want the Taliban on my side on anything. Really? I don't want the Taliban saying, we are with Lance. We believe that you should also consider trading Kyle Tucker in advance to get prospects. You know what? I'm off that.
I can't have the Taliban
backing me. I can't have my first mock draft come out and Taliban's official Twitter go like, honestly, one of the better mocks I've seen. I'm like, oh, God.
No, thank you. We're done. Paul Gallant is next. We will talk to you again tomorrow, everybody. But until then, I need to tell you something about your prostate. It might be enlarged. If you're getting up in the middle of the night a bunch, if you can't hold it anymore, if you're going like every 20 minutes, if you can't start, you can't stop peeing, all of these things are indications that you've got a prostate. If you have ED, how about if it's prostate-induced in ED, 100% of Doc Manavese's patients with ED caused by prostate, an enlarged prostate, have been cured. 100%. So, you don't know. You got a feeling that you might have an enlarged prostate. She's going to do an MRI. She'll X-ray and MRI, and she's going to see whether or not you have cancer. If you have cancer, that's a different story. You need to get that taken care of, and you should get checked. Okay, so you should get checked. All of these symptoms, though, if it's an enlarged prostate, are going to be removed with an IV. Takes about 45 minutes. It's unbelievable. No cutting, no surgery. Do not, if you have an enlarged prostate, get surgery. Go to 975prostate.com. It's the only way to take care of this. You think you might have an enlarged prostate, go to 975prostate.com.
Alexis, turn off. Alexis, turn off.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got weights and fish.
We got weights and fish.
There we go.
You're listening to 97.5, 92.5 ESPN. I'm Dancing Dave. Stick a fork in me because we're done. Dancing Diana will be in the back half of this sound set, and she'll be taking it off like a prom dress, but not before 20 minutes of nonstop power hits. ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Oh, that's so good.